We are in the stewardship season, as you know, and we have been journeying through 2 Corinthians 8. I think this is the third message from 2 Corinthians 8, something I normally don't do, but it's a little different. And today we look at verse 9. You have some information in the worship brochure concerning the stewardship journey, things we are trying to do. Each week you have a stewardship blog. If you do not access the internet, there are extra copies on tables here that you may get one to take home. Also, there's a time for us to pray during the week, each day, to keep this time before the Lord. You'll be getting two more pieces of correspondence. You get a pledge card, and you don't treat the pledge card the way some people treated the draft card years ago, right? You fill it out, you honor the Lord, and you bring it back. So in our journey here, we come down to verse 9. For you know the generous act of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that by his poverty you might become rich. So our inspiration for giving is Christ giving. He is the greatest giver. He gave the greatest gift. And we are called to give. You know, the generous act, as this version has it. You see it many other places, as you know, the grace of the Lord Jesus. Grace is that word we love to use. And I'm sure by now all of you know that grace is not a blue-eyed blonde. Grace is God's free gift, freely given. Grace is that which you do not deserve. Grace is that which you do not earn. Because God is who God is. God looks at us as we are, and God blesses us. God saves us. If that has happened to you, you have experienced grace. So the highest and holiest of all, Almighty God, will love the lowliest and worst of all, fallen creatures. And God will lavish upon us great blessings. What love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God. So we look at verse 9 today. You know the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that by his poverty you might become rich. So let us break it down very simple today. Nothing too confusing to the mind. First of all, we ask what he was, or let us say what he was. Namely, he was rich. As we face the communion table today, do you find yourself thinking about the sufferings of Christ? Anyone? Do you find yourself thinking about the cruel death he suffered? The text reminds us that it was not always so with the Lord. He was rich. He came from the richest zip code in the universe. Heaven. He was rich. Now that word was takes us back, therefore, to eternity. It takes us back to heaven. And there in eternity, in heaven, Jesus, the one who was crucified, shared all the fullness of God. John tells us, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, and the Word is Jesus Christ. He was rich. In the Old Testament, God loves to remember people that he is rich, right? The earth is the Lord's and everything it contains. Psalm 50, God reminded Israel, he owns everything. Every beast of the field is mine, says the Lord. The cattle on 1,000 hills are mine. The world and its fullness, the Lord said, are mine. He was rich. And Paul is saying to them, Jesus was rich. Now, I don't understand some of this, my friends. I'm just working through it like you. He was rich, not just in a spiritual sense, but in a material sense. Why do I say that? Well, the whole chapter, you remember, deals with money, right? And the Greek word behind all word in the Bible for rich is plousios. And plousios means material wealth. It's the same word that is used in Mark's Gospel 12:41, when Jesus spoke of the rich who were casting their wealth into the treasury of the temple. So when it comes to material wealth, whatever values they represent, whatever virtues they speak of, Jesus was rich in them. He was rich. So these believers at Corinth are reluctant to give out of their abundance. And Paul is telling them, you don't want to give, just remember this. He was rich. He became poor. What he was rich. Secondly, very simple, what did he become? He became poor. He was born in poverty. He had no home. Remember Jesus saying what? Foxes have holes. Birds have nests. The Son of Man has no place to lay his head. When he died, he was buried in a borrowed tomb. He was the poorest of the poor. He was rich. He became poor. Not poor for a day. Not temporary poverty. The Son of God became poor. In other words, while on earth he would not have made, you know, Forbes magazine list of the wealthiest people, you know, in Palestine, he became poor. Now, he didn't become poor the way people become poor today. How are people becoming poor today? They're losing their jobs. The investments are collapsing. And in many cases, people choose poverty. Don't have time to get into that. But you do certain things in life. As a youngster, you guarantee a life of poverty for yourself. He deliberately chose to be poor coming into this world. So Jesus did come and establish some elaborate kingdom, you know. Jesus did come and set himself up with a headquarters, with servants. He became poor. He is not like some of our politicians who go to Washington with modest means. By the time they leave, they are super wealthy. He is not like some who champion the cause of the poor in this land. But they are becoming extremely wealthy, and the poor are poorer. He became poor. Some years ago, Ted Turner, it was quoted of him in the New York Times, he challenged other members of the billionaire club to stop amassing wealth and start giving away some of their fortune. And a number of them responded and pledged, you know, millions or maybe billions to help needy people around the world. Well, please, we cheer them for that. But guess what? They are still rich. He became poor. Poor. We dread poverty. Do you want to be poor? Anyone here wants to be poor? Do you want your name to be the subject in a sentence and is poor is the predicate? You know, like Anthony is. No. Who wants to be a millionaire? We all say, I don't want to be poor. I was told by my family resisting my decision to go into ministry, you will be poor if you become a preacher. Sometimes I think they're right. Yeah. And so today in America, people are becoming poorer. We don't want to be poor, so we hold on to what we have. We don't want to be poor, so when the pledge card comes, what are we going to do with it? May just stick it in a book and use it as a bookmark. Eh? Would you give to the church? We don't want to be poor. A pastor wanted to challenge a farmer of his congregation about supporting the church better, so the pastor went to the farmer's farm and he said to him, brother, if you had two farms, would you give one to the Lord? He said, it would be lovely to have two farms, pastor, and I love the Lord and I love his work, and yes, I would give one to the Lord. Well, tell me, if you had $10,000, would you give $5,000 to the Lord? The farmer said, you know, it would be good to have that amount of money, and if God were to bless me $10,000, I'll give him $5,000. Then the pastor said, brother, if you had two pigs, would you give one to the Lord? He paused, and he said, that's not fair. You know I have two pigs. Who wants to be poor? And so today, people are becoming poor. Since we were here last Sunday, more Americans sunk into poverty. Last Thursday, USA Today reported that poverty now affects 46 million Americans, one in six. We have the new poor, those college-educated people, suburbanites, middle-class workers now sinking into poverty. We have the near poor, most of us here today. So as we think of poverty in this country as it is dominating the news, remember this verse from 1 Corinthians 8. He was rich. He became poor. Why? For our sakes. Yours, even mine. What he was rich. What he became poor. Finally, What may we become so that by his poverty you might become rich? You and I have the capacity to be wealthy, not only spiritually but materially, because, please, rich in the text means money, friends, that you and I may become. The Corinthians are reluctant to give. Paul is telling them, Jesus had all wealth. He was rich. He gave it all up that they would become rich in turn. Blessings come when we give up something. That through his poverty, you may become rich. So Christ in heaven, glorified, did not save us. It is Christ in earthly poverty, through his poverty. The eternal Son of the Father in heaven did not save us. It's Christ crucified that saved us. Through his poverty. Jesus seated on a heavenly throne did not save us. It is Christ nailed to the cross that saves us through his poverty. We may become rich. In our economy, we are told that the poor cannot help anyone through their poverty. Don't you hear that all the time? Who create jobs, we are told? It's the rich. The poor can't open a restaurant and hire anybody in town. The poor can't build a factory and employ people. It's the rich who could do that. You got to be rich to do something in the world. That's the thinking of the world. I'm not passing judgment on it. I'm just repeating what you know. And so when the government threatens to take money from the rich, what do? They hide it. Take it overseas. Now, it's okay for you and I to criticize them, but if they're coming after your money, what are you going to do? You're going to say, here it is? Well, let's be real, friends. So let me tell you what I think is going on in this country around rich poor. The rich would not help us create jobs unless they would become richer. The poor cannot provide jobs, they don't have the means. God bless America. God help America. The rich would not risk their wealth to help anyone but themselves. Jesus is the exception. Amen. He gave up his wealth. He became poor. Would your favorite billionaire or your favorite celebrity give up everything to help the poor in this country? Would they? Who would do it? This makes Jesus, a man all by himself, truly the Son of God. Would the Pope surrender some of the wealth of the Vatican to save the crumbling European economies? I looked at a piece yesterday that said the Pope is the richest man on the planet. Would they empty some of the Vatican coffers to help poor European states? It makes Jesus a man all by himself. He was rich. He became poor. That we, through his poverty, may become rich. So, friends, this is our Savior. Amen. This is our Lord. He gave it all up now that you may become rich. Now, what does all of that mean? What does it all mean? It means that if you are a person reluctant to give, you're kind of tight-fisted, he could change your heart. He can make you generous. He will give you. He will teach you. You may become rich. He would impart in you the values that lead to wealth. Seek first the kingdom of God, his righteousness. All these things would be added unto you. As we read in Deuteronomy 8, it is God who gives us the power to get wealth. We don't get wealth on our own. God gives us the power to get wealth. If you're doing well financially, God has blessed you. God has given you wealth. If you're not doing well financially, turn to the Lord, trust the Lord, obey the Lord, give as you should. You will become rich. Now, it doesn't, I don't think this means that, look, you're going to be swimming in money. I don't understand it like that. Because being rich, I don't know if it has as much to do with what I have in my hand as what I have in my heart. I eternally say, he is poor, she is poor, who wants more? As long as you want more,
you are poor.
Many are rich and consider themselves rich on rather modest means. If you want more, you are poor. But there is something else here, though. God says, if you honor me with your tithes and your offerings, I will open the windows of heaven and bless you. You may become rich. Charlie Page, a young man, once stopped and listened to a Salvation Army roadside service. And when it was time for the collection to be taken, the tambourine was passed around and people gave their collection to the army. And when it came to Charlie, he said to the young lady, I would love to give something, but I'm broke. I do not even have money to buy food. And she took a dollar and she gave it to him. And she said, now, obviously this had to be changed. She said, now, put 10 cents in the plate. And Charlie put in 10 cents. And she said to him, now, from now on, whenever you make money, give 10% to God and you would never be penniless again. Charlie believed her. And in time, Charlie got a job. And Charlie did well. And Charlie moved up. And Charlie did better. And as he went on, Charlie practiced giving God 10%. To the point that Charlie was a millionaire. Charlie built hospitals. Charlie brought relief to many lives through his poverty. You may become rich. So Jesus teaches us how to be rich. Give and it shall be given unto you. So today we remind ourselves in the stewardship campaign, we're all called to give. You may ask, can I give out of my small pension? Yes, you can. Can I give out of my shrinking Social Security check? Yes, I can. Can I give when I don't think I have enough for myself? Yes, I should. You will become rich. The King of Kings came to earth and lived in poverty. We who follow him want to live as kings. Give, and it shall be given unto you. So we say in our campaign this year, be the difference. Give generously. And when you look through history, friends, the people that made a difference were generous givers. You don't have to be wealthy. Jesus took a boy's lunch, 5 loaves, 2 fish. He fed a crowd. The apostles were not wealthy. They changed the world. John Wesley, Wilberforce, Gandhi, Dr. King. Not the billionaires of the world. God used them. Yes. We give God what we have. And out of our poverty, even that, God will bless me. There's a story of a woman called Martha Berry who had a passion to help poor kids. She wanted to start a school for them. But she had no money. She had no building. She had no books. And one day she went to Henry Ford and asked that multimillionaire for some money to get her school going. He reached into his pocket and he gave her a dime. Now, some of us would have taken it and threw it aside and say, what can you do with a dime, right? Not Martha Berry. She took that dime and she went to pack and she bought a pack of seeds and she planted them. And when the crop came in, she sold it, she bought more seeds. And she planted and she did it about 4 times until the final crop she had enough money to buy an old building, got it renovated, started her school. We are just what we could do, something like that. And then she took a picture of that building and the school and the kids, and she took it to Henry Ford, and she said, look at what your dime did. And he was so impressed. He gave her $1 million. Little is much when God is in it. We are simply called to be faithful. God isn't calling you to poverty. God is calling you to wealth, to abundance. You know the grace that God has given the Macedonian church? Out of their poverty, they give. Now know the grace of the Lord Jesus. Though he was rich, he became poor, that you and I, through his poverty, may become rich. Amen. Amen. Number 623, hear, O my Lord, I see thee face to face.
Of bliss and love.
please stand?